The top ends weather. Well, a nice sunny day out there, quite a warm one. Where we have got a full fire ban in place today, though, and we're expecting a top of 34 in the city, 38 in the rural area, and 38 degrees in Katherine today as well. The Mix 104.9 sweat factor with over 46,000 listeners. You can get Mix 104.9 working for your business. We've got a UV index, which is an extreme top of 12 today. The top ends tide times for in and out board marine. You can get a 1% comparison rate finance on all Yamaha repowers and pay $10 per horsepower for a limited time, but terms and conditions do apply. High tide around about now, 6.5 metres at 8.55 this morning. In Darwin right now, it's sitting on 28 degrees. It's 28 in the rural areas. And in Katherine right now, it's sitting on 29 degrees. Now, of course, it is Friday morning. It is time for the week that was. And joining us in the studio this morning, the independent member for Blaine and leader of Territory Alliance, Terry Mills. Good morning.
Thanks, Katie.
How are you?
Good, thank
That's
you.
Good. We've got Eva Lawler, the Minister for Planning, Infrastructure, Logistics and various other things. How are you, Eva?
Yeah, very well, Katie.
Good to have you in the studio. And we've also got Leah Finocchiaro, the Deputy Opposition Leader. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie, and good morning to your listeners. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's wonderful to have you all in the studio.
Actually, Katie, do you realise this is probably a first? We've got a full Palmerston panel.
I thought to myself, it is it's a good thing.
Full... the capital of the Northern Territory.
Well, there are people in the northern suburbs rolling their eyes as we speak.
No, it's definitely good to have all three of you here, obviously, as members of Parliament and members from Palmerston. Now, look, it's been a shocking week, you'd have to say, for crime. The week began with a number of businesses calling 360 to tell me about six youths who stole two cars in the northern suburbs before trying to run down police in Palmerston and going on a crime spree in the rural area. Now, unfortunately, things got worse on Tuesday afternoon when three youths allegedly assaulted someone at Coconut Grove before heading to Nightcliff foreshore and assaulting two men unprovoked and randomly. Now, there was also reports of people being punched while out jogging. And then, well, we didn't think things could get much worse, but a 13-year-old was then stabbed after being set upon by 10 people in Palmerston. I think that everybody would agree it's been a horrendous week when it comes to crime.
This week has got to go down as one of the most horrific weeks where we've had such a severe escalation in the type of lawless behaviour that we've seen. I mean, things have been bad for a long time, but this week has just been brutally horrific. I think Territorians have hit a new level of desperation in terms of what they expect from government. And quite frankly, we've had the most chronic lack of leadership from the Chief Minister in his history of chronic lack of leadership. I mean, where is he at this time when things are so severe?
Oh, well, I should jump in then. So let's just get some facts straight. First of all, crime has been an issue in the Northern Territory for a very long time. It was an issue under the CLP as well. CLP were the people that cut school-based constables. CLP were the people that cut funding to education, cut funding to those social services that we had also in the Territory. We know it has been a bad week. Absolutely, we hear from people, we hear the news, we see the stories, we're out and about. We have been in Borroloola for 3 days, so there was a community cabinet out there, and I'll talk a bit more about that later in the program. But we've also stepped up and we've got Operation Orion out there. I spoke to the Commissioner of Police, to Michael Murphy, today, and I have had conversations, obviously, in recent weeks with him. There is a whole-of-government approach out in Palmerston to look at those issues, to have people on the ground, to have the police on the ground out there. But, you know, there is not a simple solution to this. If there was a simple solution, we would all have found it long ago. Absolutely nobody wants to see crime, none of us. Our heart breaks when we hear about another victim. You know, we love Darwin, we love Palmerston, we love the Territory. We want it to be a place where we can all feel safe, where we can do the things that we love doing, walking on the Nightcliff foreshore, whatever it is, and feel safe about that. But these issues are complex, they're multi-layered, and as a government, we will continue to work hard to address those issues. So whether it is about more police on the beat, and again, under the CLP, we saw police taken off the beat and standing at bottle shops. There was about 70 police at bottle shops. We've put more police in. We've built more police stations. So we've got more resources out there to address the issue of crime.
Do you reckon it's not working then, Eva? Because that's the thing that we're sort of hearing very loudly and clearly, is that people don't feel like those changes that have come into play, that they're making an impact.
So, you know, Katie and I absolutely understand if you have been a victim of crime, crime has gone up 100% for you. But the actual data, and if you're, you know, we're cold and we use only the evidence, the data is actually showing some good results in Palmerston. So domestic break-ins are down a three-year low. Commercial break-ins, it's about a five-year low. So you can be, you know, cold and ruthless about it and just look at the data and things are improving. But I absolutely understand if you are a person that has had a break-in, it is, you know, it is a terrible thing and it's a shocking thing and we can all understand and empathise. But it is multi-layered. It is about reforming the youth justice system. It didn't work under the CLP. We had a royal commission. So between Elfrink and Giles, we ended up with a $50 million debt around a royal commission. We're building a new youth justice centre. So there are absolutely multi-layers of things that need to be done, that are being done. They take time. Some of those are generational. Some are immediate, like Operation Orion. But there is no simple solution, and the CLP don't have it. If they did, they would have put it in when they were in government.
I'm sorry, but this, you know, blaming the CLP and blame shifting, as we always see from the Gunner Labor government. You are the government, Eva. I'm sorry. If you don't realise that three and a bit years down the track, then we've got a serious, serious problem, a greater problem than I already think we do have. Territorians are sick and tired of this blame shifting. The Gunner Labor government has been in power for over 3 years. It has allowed things to escalate because of its reform agenda, which is clearly not working. I mean, less than two weeks ago, we were in Parliament, you know, further eroding consequences for young people through amendments to the Youth Justice Act. You know, we continue to see a lack of leadership from the Chief Minister when these types of horrific events unfold day after day after day. It's not acceptable to blame governments from years ago when you're not willing to look at your own actions. I mean, what is going to change this week? You're talking about creating
Operation Orion.
I mean, I think Territorians would be gobsmacked if you're telling us that government departments weren't already working together to try and solve these issues. I think everyone would have thought that's already happening.
It is happening.
Well, then what's different about Orion?
So Operation Orion is having the police having a much more visible presence in Palmerston. So having greater police on the beat out there. We know school holiday periods are notoriously difficult. We have, as a government, put in large numbers of programs, youth activity programs. And Leah, you know PABA do a fantastic job out there with the basketball programs at night, the activities that they have organised for kids. So it is about putting in programs over the holiday period. But some of those issues, I mean, the stabbing that we saw of the 13-year-old, it is actually it has been a complex issue, that one. It isn't straightforward. Leah probably hears the stories, Terry does too. You hear the stories on the ground around those kids and what was involved. It isn't just a simple,
Attacks on police? I mean, the police association have come out. There's been allegations that police are being driven at, that they've been spat at. I mean, this is out of control. This is social dysfunction to a degree that's hugely concerning. And the government is just still continuing to blame previous governments about it.
I think doing so is going to be to your own detriment, if I'm really honest with you, Eva, because at the moment, look, what we're hearing so loudly and clearly, and it's not only, you know, it's not just me having this opinion, it is what we're hearing so loudly and clearly from our listeners, is that people feel as though we do not have control over the situation at the moment. They're feeling, I would say the best way of describing it is helpless. They're feeling quite helpless and they're feeling really vulnerable and upset at the way in which things are unfolding. Now, I guess people can call me alarmist, you know, you can call me whatever you like, really. But from the beginning of the week, from what we saw earlier in the week and what we've seen in recent time, it's very much been property crime. So the large majority of what we've we've seen recently has been property crime. But unfortunately, I think by Tuesday afternoon, when we've got a situation where you've got two kids who are 13 years old and one that's 15 flogging someone on the nightcliff foreshore randomly and at 7 o'clock when there's families down there, I don't think anybody out there listening would think that that's okay in any way, shape or form. And then by the next day, to have a situation less than 24 hours later when we've got a 13-year-old stabbed, once again, there may be plenty of factors that come into play with that incident, with that 13-year-old. But I tell you what, as a parent, it is a serious concern to me that a 13-year-old kid has been stabbed.
Katie, I haven't said anything because I'm hearing the discussion and I know that the community is deeply troubled by this, and you know we hear that it's not a simple matter, but yet it can be simply identified as a problem of the CLP when they were there for 4 years and there was 12 years of labour before that. And I think people just need the truth told that we've got a very complex, very serious social problem. Now, if the measures that Eva is describing are fit for purpose, well, then I think the test has to be that we have a full-blown community meeting in Palmerston and let's see whether these ideas are actually properly tested in the face of a community that is concerned. They need to be reassured. And I made an observation yesterday, I've been involved in schools, and you know that it's important to maintain a very strong, clear standard in a school. There was a knife attack a few weeks ago in the school. And we find out 2 days ago in the NT News that there has been no charges laid at all. Now, in the full view of the school community and all the parents involved in that school, they've all talked about that. By the lack of a response, a lack of a consequence, even though I asked the minister during question time, describe in detail the actual consequence that will flow. There was no answer to that. There was plenty of other talk about all sorts of other things, perhaps even mentioning the CLP. But the fact that there was no consequence, no message sent, it sends another message. And I think there is a connection between what happened the day before yesterday with a knife attack and the school. You see, if you start to stand up and reinforce a community standard, you make it clear what's right and wrong. And by all these weeks going by and nothing has happened, no consequence, it alters the mindset of those who are prone to do such things, have total disregard for the law. So I think if we want to take this to the next logical step, it is a community meeting. The Chief Minister can come and explain himself.
So, Terry, there would have been consequences. I haven't actually followed that one. It's not my portfolio now, education. But I absolutely support Palmerston College. Palmerston Senior College is in my electorate, and I know they do an amazing job. Schools in the Territory are outstanding. They have absolutely tight rules, orderly behaviour in the schools. And so at the Palmerston, and that was the middle school campus, there would have been consequences, definitely would have been consequences for that child. So whether that was a suspension, and as I said, police would continue to investigate to see if charges need to be laid around that. But I can back the schools in the Territory around how orderly their behaviours are, and I think if you actually talk to parents, but that's, you know, to me that's one of the solutions around the issues around crime, making sure that every kid in the Territory is at school for 5 days a week, week in, week out, because that's where often these children, particularly children who have very difficult lives, actually get those boundaries set and learn the rules of what is expected in society. So I'll back schools any day.
Well, I'm not attacking the school.
Sounds like you're attacking Rosebery.
Oh, gosh. Yep. That's probably it's a fairly clumsy attempt at diverting attention from the real issue, that is a community standard being reinforced and justice being seen to be done. If you want to maintain order in a community, in a family, in a school, you have to make sure that it's crystal clear what is right and wrong. And if there is some consequence that did occur, why couldn't the minister explain that? How is it that parents still don't know what that consequence is in a way that's meaningful to them? How is it that was reported 2 days ago that there have been no charges laid? People know those things. It's not an attack on the school. I think it's actually pointing towards when Eva says that there are really things the numbers indicate things aren't as bad as they are, and yet at the same time increase the number of police operating in Palmerston. Doesn't that sort of tell you that it actually is a problem?
Well, it was about, Leah was talking about leadership, and to me that is leadership, is when there is a spike, and we have seen a spike in crime. We all acknowledge that in the last week. It is then about focusing resources and targeting resources where the issues are, and that's what's happened.
We're going to take a very short break, but this discussion certainly isn't over. I am keen to talk about youth diversion and some of the comments that we are hearing made publicly about this situation and the issue of leadership from the Chief Minister Michael Gunner. It is just on 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. Now, there are a lot of messages coming through this morning on the text line. If you do want to text through, 0418 957 369. Of course, I am joined in the studio by Terry Mills, Eva Lawler and Leah Finocchiaro. Now, we've got one here. It says, good morning, Katie. I saw a thing on Facebook from Michael Gunner yesterday going on about diversion and the magical 120 more police. No amount of extra police will change the laws that allow our courts to be a revolving door. Diversion is a red herring. And as for the comments about this morning about anyone who genuinely believes these little darlings give a rat's cracker about holiday programs and basketball games, they don't get it. Have a good weekend. There's another message here. Hey guys, can you ask if the kid that stabbed the 13-year-old in Palmerston is going to be charged with attempted murder? There is a lot of messages coming through. Look, and there's one here that says it's time to start publicly naming these convicted youths. The system is at present not working. At least responsible parents will have a chance to warn their own kids from associating with them and heading down the wrong track. Slaps on the wrists is just another let off and contributes to the problem. I think the thing is, we all understand that this is an incredibly complex issue that we've got at the moment. But one of the things that I get asked really daily, you'd have to say, is whether youth diversion is working. And for a lot of us, and I did ask the Minister for Police about this the other day, just how many children, say, in the last year have gone through youth diversion and how we measure its success or failure. Because for me, I think that that's a big part of this. If we're using youth diversion as a method to be able to, you know, to punish people, then how do we know if it's actually working? And how are we going to measure these programs, whether they're working or whether they're not working? And this is the real situation that we've got at the moment, is the community doesn't feel as though what is in place is working. Now, whether you look at the crime stats and they say that they've gone down or not, I think that's cold comfort for anybody who's listening, who's heard about the events that have unfolded throughout the week, or who's had their car stolen or their house broken into. Even yesterday or the day before, we heard about a senior who had her handbag stolen at the North Lake Shopping Centre. Luckily, one of our other listeners actually was able to find that handbag and return it to her, and her 8-year-old daughter, Sarah and Sienna, were able to get that handbag returned. But we were talking about a woman, a senior woman, who was at the shopping centre at North Lakes when young people stole that handbag. We then saw a mobility scooter stolen as well. We saw the vision of that overnight on Nine News Darwin. And look, to me, it seems as though we've got kids in the community who, in some cases, with the theft of a mobility scooter, you'd have to say they're doing it for fun. And they're not worried about whether they're going to get in trouble.
I sat with Maggie Grave yesterday. We watched the news together. She's the one that had the mobility scooter stolen. We saw the footage together. They are fit, not really young, young people, you know, they're not little kids. They're just strolling around casually, and they took so much from her. It's remarkable her state of mind, that she's quite positive. She's just trying to manage it. But then when I look at the footage of these young kids, they look to me about 15 or more. Reasonably well-dressed, fairly confident. To put them on a diversionary program, I don't think it would cause them any trouble whatsoever. And I've got police friends who are involved in this and seriously concerned about it, that I couldn't understand how it could be that you'd have 150 encounters with the police, diversionary warnings and so on. Clearly, it is not having an impact because I don't think we're being honest about the nature of these young people who have become so hardened that you have to have a response that hits them in a way that's going to cause them to have a rethink. That's why there needs to be a quick response that involves the community and those that have been affected by their actions so that they know that this is actually... That poor Maggie, if her son was able to explain the situation, what it means to her and to him, to these young ones and their families, that would have an impact. And then if there was a better program than a diversionary program that perhaps go out of town, take out of circulation for a while and have a deep rethink about your behaviour in the company of strong men, say out in the bush somewhere, I think the community would breathe a sigh of relief. But the current system is not working.
So that's exactly what you've described is what is in place. So there is restorative justice practice.
We do have boot camps at the moment.
You're going to talk about Operation Flinders.
We don't, Katie.
So Operation Flinders is one of those examples, but we also have the Rusker brothers who have a program where they're taking kids out, as I said, working on them around employment skills, all of those sorts of things. I was just out at Borroloola for 3 days, 7 Emus station. That's one of the ones that is working towards also being that sort of boot camp type facilities.
So how
facilities.
Many kids have gone through that so far?
So that's the one that we're working towards around that. But the Operation Flinders is showing good results, and it is too early. I mean, we don't like to talk about those results until we see consistency around that. But it is about making sure we take the kids out of that crime cycle, give them the skills, change their lives, and then because you can't keep them locked up forever. That
For
is the bottom
out
line.
There listening, so they do. Where exactly is Operation Flinders, and who is able to go to Operation Flinders?
So any of the diversion programs, it is kids that are look like they're in the early stages of a criminal activity, so there are some young people that may have stuffed up, be easily led, going on the wrong, the wrong side of the track, getting those kids, taking them, and as I said, Operation Flinders is in South Australia. So then it is about them working, doing activities, working with people, counsellors, all of those sorts of things. But it is also, firm, disciplined, getting up in the morning, cleaning up camp, all of those types of things to get their lives, turn their lives around.
These are 8 to 10 day wilderness treks, I think the Chief Minister called it. Yeah.
So it is about turning their lives
around. But just for me to get a better understanding of this, Operation Flinders right now is open, it's operational.
Yes.
People in the top end who offend are able to be sent to Operation Flinders.
Perhaps after 150 encounters.
The government website actually says it's for those at risk of offending. Yeah. So
there are kids, let's face it though, there are still plenty of children, plenty of young people who go to Dondale. That is a fact. And
there was
7 in Alice Springs yesterday.
Now, what I want to say, because I've got three people in this room who are decision makers. Now, we are in a situation here in the Northern Territory at the moment, in the top end. I cannot express to you how upset Territorians are at the moment with the situation that is happening. I cannot express to you how angry people are when they call this radio station. I cannot express to you how upset they are at the thought that the top end of the Northern Territory is deteriorating to a point where they are worried whether their children, whether it's a safe place to raise their kids. Now, unless something changes and unless we see some kind of impact in this space, we can run all the programs we want to try to lure people to the Northern Territory, but you're not going to get anyone to stay.
That's exactly right, and it affects tourism as well. You know, people Google a place before they go and visit it, and what do you think comes up when you Google the Northern Territory? It is really shocking, Katie, and you're right. People are furious, they're disappointed, they're disillusioned. I mean, any number of words can describe how Territorians are feeling about this. Diversion has become a word that people just completely roll their eyes about. I've got a long series of written questions into the Parliament for the Minister for Territory, Families Families and Minister for Police around youth diversion, what it is, who can go to it, how it's offered, how many people have done it, what's the success rate, and importantly, what's the recidivism rate? We know that repeat offending is not able to be, you know, properly, that data can't really be collected at the moment.
What's your answer to recidivism?
What's my answer to recidivism? We need immediate action, immediate consequences for every crime straight away. There needs to be an escalating regime of consequences for people as they go, you know, depending on obviously the severity of the crime and the instance of the crime. I mean, Maggie, you know, Terry talks about Maggie. She's a wonderful person in our seniors community. We all know and love her. You know, she rang my office yesterday and we're doing our best to get her a an emergency replacement scooter. I mean, it's not right that she has to now sit at home because a bunch of kids thought it was a really fun idea to go and steal her bag, her keys and her mobility scooter. It's not right for people to be stabbed in the middle of the day, bashed at the foreshore. And it's enough. The government can say diversion all it wants and it can say the word consequences all it wants. People aren't feeling that on the ground. What does it actually look like? And I don't actually think the government is even really committed to diversion because what has happened to the Palmerston Skills Training Centre? You know, that was announced in December last year and where is it? It's nowhere. It's non-existent. We had a tender release last week trying to look for a piece of land.
So I've got a message here from one of our listeners, Wendy May. Now, this is one I think it's the type of message that we hear each and every day. It says, Katie, these little shits know there are no consequences. They don't even get a slap on the hand, so to speak. They just get released or not charged at all. They must be made to be held to account when they do the wrong thing, no matter their age. There's too many excuses made for them.
That's right.
We all agree. So we all agree that there has to be, and whether Leah likes the word consequences or punishment or whatever else, but
I love the word consequences. You guys say it, but don't match your words with your actions.
But, you know, one of the iconic images in my mind is kids in cars doing wheelies and driving through the roller door at Dondale. That was under the CLP.
Here we go.
So it is easy for Leah to be here preaching and on her high horse around things, but we didn't see under the CLP any difference. So let's not just, you know...
All right. Well,
let's
I think Territorians will be the judge of that.
Let's start logically. So it is about absolutely getting in, doing that preventative work. We need to make sure that the kids are at school, when they're at school, that there are targeted programs that meet their needs to make sure that those kids are at school every day. It's a bit like going to work every day. If you're up, you're at school, you're engaged, you have a good...
So when is that happening? I mean, we're 3 years down the track. Where is it?
That is happening.
Okay. Is that working?
As I said, as a government have put more money in, we're seeing improvements in NAPLAN results under Labor the first time for an absolutely very long time. So those things are working. It was a CLP, and we'll remind you again, Terry, that was you that cut funding to places like Rosebery Middle School, where you pulled out really good programs like drama, the arts, the sports programs by cutting teachers. Fact. And if you pull out those programs, then the kids that are on the periphery don't want to go
Terry's
to school.
Terry's responsible for
So, yes,
for
Terry,
what
you
happened,
are. You're responsible for a lot of those issues.
Okay.
And then the next layer is when those kids offend, it is about working with the families in the first instance. We need to give those young kids a chance. If they stuff up, then absolutely they need to go somewhere where there are consequences. If they go to Dondale, though, there is no point in just being locked up in Dondale.
The sense within the community right now is that we've seen a change, and that after we had the situation where we had a Royal Commission into youth justice, that police... that they are able to, you know, we've got a situation where the police are able to apprehend, they're able to identify, they're actually able to locate the people that are doing the wrong thing. And I tell you what, we get the sentiment quite a bit that it's frustrating for our police because they're able to do all of those things, but then there's no consequence to those actions.
So
that's where we're at the moment.
That's the what's missing in this is there are crimes being committed by young people, and there needs to be a punishment that fits that crime.
Yes.
That's to reinforce the view in the community that there is right and wrong, that there's an adequate response. And if there's an underlying problem that's caused that person to stab somebody, well, we need to deal with that secondly. You know, I just recount, and many listeners would be aware of the late Paul Nuku, who ran Wild Man River programs. That's where a tough man, a good man ran strong programs for these types of kids. It was fit for purpose. It was run through corrections. Now, the word corrections, you know, whatever that idea is, that word's been loaded up with in modern times, the word correction is to correct. And there needs to be adequate programs that do effectively correct, and that should be run through corrections for those that are hardened and determined to do the wrong thing. One, a sanction that meets the expectations of the community at the beginning, not 150 times later, and the diversion to a solid program that is run by good, strong people to get them to change their way of thinking. Simple as that. You can have a lot of words talking about programs that are a bit obscure, but the fact is that there's about 50-odd kids now, the number used to be about 25 or 30, a hardened group that are not affected at all by the response. Like it's now 4 weeks and no charge has been laid for a knifing at a school.
And that's why, you know, youth justice needs to go back to corrections. We've said that 100 times. Territory families have a big job in care and protection. That's a big part of this picture as well, and they need to get on with that job. This is not the fault of any of the staff. This is a misguided direction by government. We'd like to see youth justice back with corrections.
We had a royal commission that had recommendations. So that was your Prime Minister, Turnbull. Okay. It was El Frink. It was Giles. We had a royal commission and the recommendations. Mm-hmm. So we had a royal commission. That is what is expected under the Constitution in Australia, that when you have a royal commission, you follow through with that.
I think
so
territorians expect you to keep them safe.
So that's
You've failed in your number one obligation.
So we have those recommendations as a government. That's what landed on our plate. We are implementing those recommendations and working our way through those.
Given the fact that the federal government haven't actually stumped up here and provided any money following on from that Royal Commission, do you think, Eva, that we're actually in a situation here where we go, OK, we need to take some of these recommendations on board, but we also need to tailor this so that it suits the Northern Territory and that things make a difference for us here in the Northern Territory right now?
So we have a Royal Commission, but we also have really good people that are working in territory families. You've got Jeanette Kerr, you've got Brett Warren, who were police. They have come from the NT Police. You've got people who understand young people in those agencies. They're working through those issues. They're implementing those recommendations. As I said, it is a complex issue. Leah has no answers. We've heard that today. She has absolutely no answers to any of this. If you think just changing it from one agency's name to another makes a difference, it's not. You've got to have, as I said, quality people implementing these things, and that's what's happening. We've got good people in territory families. We've got good people in NT Police. We've got good teachers and good people in the schools. And if Leah and Terry don't agree with that, as I said, I'll back the public.
Don't put words in our mouths. Honestly, you lack credibility entirely.
There are, however, very, very good people in our community whose voices need to be properly heard, and they need to be contributing to a solution to this. Because it's complex, you need a lot of different voices, and they need to be heard, not lectured at, and not tried to convince them that things are working when they know, obviously, that it isn't. Now, I would like to be persuaded, and I think I speak on behalf of the community, if you're going to follow down the path that is obviously being set by the results, and you've chosen to spend $60 million on a new facility that's near the adult prison, which I don't think is quite compatible with the Royal Commission that you've said that you support, how can you convince us that after the expenditure of $60 million, you're not going to have hardened young offenders on the top of a $60 million facility trashing it?
So just to be clear, again, Leah, I think, was strongly involved in saying that the Youth Justice Centre, which is a $60 million build, shouldn't be in Pineland. So that was an issue. So we have then looked at a second site. That site is on, I think it's about 50 acres, and it is a huge, big site. It's a long way from the Holtz prison, but it is also in that precinct, which is handy because you can have shared facilities around laundry or cooking and things like that. But it will also be a state-of-the-art facility which will be focused on not not growing super criminals. You know, it will be focused on absolutely turning those kids' lives around. Because as I said, you can't keep them in jail forever. So we know that. They have to come out at some stage, but how do you, when they come out, how do you have it so that they come out and be productive members of our community, go on to be good people in the Territory? That's the focus.
We're going to take a very short break. It is just 18 minutes away from 10 o'clock. It is a quarter or 15 minutes away from 10 o'clock. It is Friday morning. It is the week that was. I've got Terry Mills, Eva Lawler and Leah Finocchiaro in the studio with me. And we've got a message from Michelle. It says, I'm so angry listening to these people, these children. You're doing nothing for these children if you continue to blame them. It's the parents where government need to focus. The government should be listening to people on the ground who are working with these children daily. You people have got no idea what's happening day to day. Come on, listen to the people on the ground. There's another one here from Annie. It says, if we put all these kids on suspension, are those children back out on the street up to no good? If that's so, isn't that just shifting the problem? Respect is lacking by these kids. Something has to be done to make us safe. That one there from Annie. Look, we've got a lot of messages coming through. One that says, one, curfew. Two, mandatory sentencing. And it says, it's working for assault. There's another one from Shane. It says youth stats are false. Multiple crimes on one night only register one statistic. Misleading again. Look, there's a lot. There's lots there that are saying stop blaming, start doing. Stop blaming each other and get on with the job. We as the community have had enough. Spin after spin, that's all we hear. Look, I do want to make mention, though, of this week. I have received a number of messages wondering where the Chief Minister is. Eva, I know that you had said that obviously... you guys have been in Community Cabinet in Borroloola. But I do want to make mention of the fact that the Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, hasn't been out publicly this week to speak. He has taken to social media to say the Northern Territory Police are doing a good job and are catching offenders, and they've established Strike Force Orion to be more focused on solving this issue. Make no mistake, people who do the wrong will face the consequences, which also ensure they do not do it again. This includes detention, boot camps and bringing offenders face-to-face with their victims to acknowledge the harm that they've caused. The face-to-face process of allowing the victims to confront their offenders is the most effective way of stopping reoffending, and it's already working in the Territory. But we also need to prevent crime before it happens. He says that's why they've invested in 120 more police with better resources to target crime hotspots, installed 400 additional CCTV cameras and implemented alcohol policies which are cutting alcohol related crime and violence. Now, look, there's about 400 comments underneath there, and sure, you'd be hard-pressed to find one that's positive or that actually says that they feel as though what's happening is working. We're at a point, I think, where the Chief Minister needs to show some real leadership in this space, and the fact that he's been MIA this week isn't helpful.
It's appalling. So it's genuinely appalling. The Chief Minister is the leader of the Territory. He needs to come out. I mean, it's like he just magically disappears every time something, goes wrong or doesn't go his way. You know, Territorians need to understand that the Territory government has got things at hand and that there is a vision out of this mess. Now, no one at the moment has that level of confidence. And the fact that there's no messaging coming out from government, you know, condemning what's happened. Eva, to be fair, your message is, oh, well, it's the CLP's fault. Well, I'm sorry, you've been in government for over 3 years. You know, something you're doing isn't working.
No, my message was criticising you when you didn't have an answer.
Oh, I do have an answer. Let's put youth justice back into corrections where it belongs. Let's have an immediate consequence for every criminal behaviour. An escalating penalty regime. Where are the community service orders? Let's make parents front court with their young person to face up to what their young person's been doing. You know, there's a number of things that we talk about constantly, but your government is more focused on removing consequences from our youth justice legislation, like removing breach of bail condition as an offence. I mean, you literally voted for that 2 weeks ago. That is 100% correct. The offence of breach of bail condition no longer exists, courtesy of the Gunner Labor government. Thank you very much for that.
So has that been removed?
Yes.
So it is no longer an offence to breach your bail.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the bill's been assented to yet, but that law has been removed.
So if you breach bail, it goes back to your original sentence. So that's not true.
Can you be charged for breach of bail, Eva?
Well, it goes back to
what
you...
No, can you be charged for breach of bail? The answer is no for those playing along at home.
It goes back to your original, what you'd originally done. So if you're going to be... If the consequences are that you're in Don Dale, it'll go... Or that you've got parole or it's hanging over your head, you'll go back to that.
So it isn't if you breach your bail, you're not in trouble?
Yes, you are in trouble. You are absolutely in trouble if you breach bail. And as I said, it goes back to your original sentence. But let's just go back to the issue around talking about the Chief Minister. So one of the things as a government we do is actually get out on the ground and listen to people. So we have about every 6 weeks, we have a community cabinet where we go out to remote communities because the Northern Territory isn't just Darwin or Alice Springs. So we've been in Borroloola for 3 days. Prior to that, we'd been on the Tiwis, Gapawiak, Nooka. So we're out actually with our ministers in that community. So that's where the Chief Minister's been. And it is important that we're out in those communities because often the issues that those people face are issues that aren't heard in Darwin or aren't heard by the opposition because they're not actually out in those communities. It was great to be out in Borroloola for 3 days. There were so many issues around my portfolio that now I've seen firsthand and there were some good stories out there. So the sports centre out there that's a partnership between government and also the Community Benefit Trust at MacArthur River Mine, also with the local council. So we're building a cyclone shelter and a sports centre out in Borroloola.
So you feel as though the Chief Minister in this space this week has shown the leadership that is required of a Chief Minister given the incidents that have occurred this week?
As I said, we have been out in Borroloola for 3 days. Communication is difficult when you're out there, but let's face it, it is about hearing all Territorians as well. It isn't just
no
about
one's disputing
Darwin.
That. No one's disputing that.
Borroloola,
but what we're asking this morning,
also,
I'm asking a very direct question. Do you feel as though the Chief Minister has displayed the leadership that he should have this week, given the circumstances that have unfolded?
Absolutely. He has a Minister for Police, which is Nicole Manison. Nicole Manison has been in town. She's been out and about. She's also been working with the police. We see Operation Orion that's come out of some of those incidences that happened in Palmerston. So it is about directing resources, targeting those resources. But as I said, it is also about hearing the voices of people out at Borroloola who don't necessarily listen to 104.9 or don't actually have those opportunities to come into town and talk to a minister or, you know, that lots of local people in Darwin get their voices heard. So I was at King Ash Bay. I was able to talk to the people there about their issues out there, and there's a large number of Territorians who've retired out there. So it's great to be able to talk to them. It is great to be able to see the new housing that's going in, about 50 new houses in Borroloola after 10 years of inaction around those things. So it is about all Territorians, and that's what the Chief Minister needs to do. He needs to lead for all Territorians.
Well, I tell you what, up here in the top end this week, there's a lot of people that are messaging through to say that they don't feel like he's leading.
So I think the way to fix this is a community meeting. And I'm not a big fan of community meetings because we've got to be able to not only raise expectations but manage them. And I've worked with Serena Dalton in the past, and we've had this sort of rising concern in the community, and we managed to bring people together, and it was great that, you know, community leaders turned out and Dale Wakefield gave an explanation at that time. And I thought we'd just hold back and just see how these things play out. Now, if we've got a vacuum now where there's a sense that there isn't the adequate leadership or response, then I think now is the time to do that. We're leading up to an election, and we've got to be able to manage how people are feeling here and hear what they've got to say and then respond to that. Otherwise, we're managing a message. We've got 17 people on the fifth floor who are paid a lot of money to provide communication, but we're not hearing very many clear messages that allay the fears and concerns of Territorians. So maybe a public meeting will help.
Well, Terry, I know you like public meetings, and we've had a couple which we've attended, but it is about being available every single day of the week, every in your electorate and as local members. So whether I'm at the Palmerston Markets, and I'm there every single week at the Palmerston Markets, I don't think I've missed one this year, but I'm also out door knocking, people are coming to the electorate, we're out and about all the time. And so it is about hearing those voices because there's And we do hear that. We are out and about making ourselves available. I know my colleague, Tony Seavers, as well. We are always available to listen to people.
Why didn't government go to either of the crime rallies that were held by business owners?
So those were meetings that weren't for government people. They were meetings for business people and for community members. It wasn't about us going there telling them what we're doing. It was about them to listen to their concerns.
We're going to take a very short break. It is just 5 minutes away from 10 o'clock. You're listening to Mix 104.9's 360. It is just a couple of moments away from 10 o'clock. Look, we were going to talk about pre-selection as well and some other stuff, but the conversation this morning has largely centred around the issues that we've seen this week, and rightly so. That is something that that so many Territorians have called through about and wanted their voices heard about this week. But look, that's it for us this morning. I want to say a big thank you to Terry Mills, the independent member for Blaine, for joining us.
Thanks, Katie, and... I got a little community barbecue at the back of the Woodruff shops.
Oh, yes.
Tomorrow, 10 to 12. So if I can come out, I'd love to have a chat about the things perhaps we've been discussing today.
Mm. Eva Lawler, the member for Drysdale and also minister for plenty of things, including planning, logistics and infrastructure.
Oh, Katie, just to finish off, I know it's two against one in here and I sometimes feel like I'm batting people away, but, you know, assure people that absolutely care and are committed to sorting these issues. They are difficult, they are complex, but none of us want to see or hear about victims and people hurting in the Territory. So it is about what we can do, and we'll continue to try everything to move ahead with these issues.
Leah Finocchiaro, the deputy opposition leader.
Whatever you are.
For Philip. You know, when you sometimes think, goodness me, I'm trying to think what your title is.
Thank you, Katie. No, of course, Palmerston Markets tonight. I'll see you there. I've got a community barbecue tomorrow morning in Durack Heights if you want to come down. And Sunday is Zakoli Market. So a nice big community weekend.
I've never been. I'm going to have to
you
have a
go, you yeah. gotta go.
Lots of handicrafts.
Oh, you never, never know if you never, ever go.
Well, that's it for us this morning. Thank you all so much for joining us on the week that was. Plenty more coming your way after 10 o'clock. You're listening to Mix 104.9's 360. Thanks.